KFKA and the Colorado Inn present Rams Weekly, an inside look at all things Rams football. Here's Brady Hull, Kevin Lytle, and Chris Abshire.
Welcome into Rams Weekly on this first day of December, or if you're podcasting it, it could be any day of December, I suppose. But to Chris Abshire, Kevin Lytle, fellas from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and joining us, a lot to break into today. We'll put the finishing touches on the season that was for Colorado State football. Look at CSU basketball so far, 6 wins for them to start this thing off. Oh, and Isaiah Stevens just out of nowhere is just ready to rock and roll and played pretty well last night, so we'll talk about that. Maybe get into some NIL stuff, too, because that's a big deal. But fellas, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, definitely. It was nice to do some grub, watch a lot of football, football. And then a long weekend of working sports after that, so worked
Chris,
out pretty good.
How about you, man? You still eating leftovers?
Not quite. Well, it's funny. My family up here, we do a bit of a non-traditional one, so it was some lasagna.
Okay.
That's
what my mother-in-law does the same thing.
Oh, nice. All right.
She doesn't do lasagna, but we do have ham, I guess, but they're not into turkey.
I don't like turkey. I'm anti-turkey.
I'm the only one. I like turkey.
I like turkey.
My mom's coming for Christmas, and we're doing turkey.
You both are strange, so yeah, that checks out.
I'm a big turkey guy, man. Ham is good, but everybody signed off on it. I got out voted. So there you go. That's
so you have
how
a lot
happens.
Of smart people around you.
A lot.
You're kind of the that outlier.
I'm always the odd man
that
out.
Checks out.
The oddball.
Well, it's fun. I mean, CSU only needed one day of leftovers. I mean, because Friday they looked pretty good.
Yeah, they did, man. It was so good to see that. You know, they went 17-0. The offense, you know, again, it's not Fort Air Rady, but they did put some points on the board, and the defense gets a shutout. So Clay looked good. You know, you saw some of the stars shine a little bit in that game. So really,
New Mexico, you know, real bad.
Yeah, I mean, again, they're really, really, really awful, but it was nice to see.
If you're the punching bag for CSU, that's an issue.
Yeah, kind of like I wrote in my story, New Mexico's like the antidote to anything that ails CSU. It seems like every year,
something's going wrong,
you just play New Mexico, and all feels good. I mean, a few years ago, I think it was a really long thing. Well, CSU's had lots of losing streaks, but they go down to Albuquerque, and Warren Jackson has a big game. They win. Last year, I believe they started conference play, I should say, with New Mexico. Had a nice win. This year, a nice end of the season. Just, you play New Mexico, you feel good.
Let's play New Mexico every single week. Let's just make that a thing. That would be nice. But you know what? You got a lot of people that are excited still. It's crazy because the tone last year, you know, even before the game was done, this tone was like, oh my gosh, this is the Dazio regime. It's not exciting. I'm not buying tickets to this. We're not going to the games. I don't think Jay Norvell has lost too many people.
No, this is the most optimistic I've felt fans are after a 3-9 season. CSU's had a lot of 3-9s. I've been around for most of them, at least the recent ones, and people are pretty excited. I think people expect a jump and still think the future is bright despite the record.
I mean, I think you did see a lot of bright spots on display. I mean, first of all, if they can get Torrey Horton back next year, first team All Mountain West performer there. You have a, you know, instant star kind of to build on offensively there. I was telling Kevin this earlier. I mean, I think fans are going to be very surprised by what Clay Millen looks like next year. He was already a very efficient quarterback this year. There just weren't the things around him to make, you know, his skills pop. You know what I mean?
He was in on Monday, and we were talking about, so I said, hey, educate our listeners a little bit, because, and I just flat out said, people say you hold on to the ball and too long. And he said, you know, I'm guilty of that. I know I do, but there are also, in this offense, I have to go through my progressions. That's how we do it. We want to go through those. We want the play to actually play out, so to speak. So if I don't go through those progressions, then I'm not doing my job. So there's a mix there. But I think you guys are both right. Like, you're seeing the stuff there. He got better every single week. He can take a hit, man. I mean, that guy can take a hit. He can run. He can do some funny things, too. Jump throws, all that stuff. I think you're right. I think he's going to be much better from year one of seeing him here to year two.
I think, yeah, knowing what you have under center is going to be important there.
Not under center. Behind center.
That's good, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, if the offensive line can be okay next year, I think you see a big jump. You know, it'd be nice if it's the best offensive line in the Mountain West. That's probably unlikely. But if it can just be okay, this is the worst offensive line I've ever seen. Most people around me that were at, you know, most of the games, no one else, you know, no one else feels any different. Like, yeah. That was just a really poor O-line as the one unit that could not afford injuries. They had a ton of them. It was just a recipe for disaster.
Well, and this is not like an old school, like, 3-9 season in the way that, you know, 3-9 seasons used to mean something for your program. I mean, the way you can rebuild instantly through the transfer portal, you know, you can sign more players now. The rule is you can sign to get your roster up to 85 scholarship players. Next year, CSU is going to have 35 new guys on this roster. You can turn things over. You can overhaul things quicker. 3-9 does not mean what it used to mean. And I think that's – fans do understand that to an extent. And I think that's part of the reason for the still kind of optimism hanging over the program, even though the results this year on the field weren't what people hoped.
And the fact that in Mountain West play, CSU was clearly playing, you know, hard.
Much better.
Big effort.
Yeah.
A couple plays away from winning 5-6 Mountain West
yes.
games.
Well, and if Clay plays in that Utah State game, They might win that game.
Yeah.
Other than the Boise State game, it felt like they had their opportunities. The Wyoming game.
Yeah, Wyoming was very winnable. You know, Boise State obviously just whipped CSU. I would say Air Force, too. I know the score ended up being close. I think that was a little bit of Air Force hitting the handbrake.
Air Force just doesn't cover very much.
And they had a 24-point lead and didn't have to do anything else. But other than that, every game was, winnable. So you could easily see 5-6 conference wins there, with a couple plays different. So I think that's some of it, too. Whereas, at the end of last season, CSU was getting beat 52-10. And the head coach was, tipping his cap and leaving before halftime.
Yeah.
He did not tip his cap.
He didn't wear a cap very often. But you think about that. Was it this time last year, right? We were getting the announcement that he was done.
Yeah. It was this week last year.
So it's a way different feel. I mean, people were wondering, what's going to happen? Are we keeping this Adazio guy? And then, bam, he's gone. And shortly after that, Jay Norvell, the guy that just came into town and whooped up on Colorado State. So that guy, I think, still has a lot of people behind him. And rightfully so. I think we talked about this a lot at the beginning of the season. We all kind of drank the Kool-Aid a little bit. But that also means Jay Norvell's good at what he does. He was a great salesman of this program. But then we all slowed down and said, okay, to be realistic, it is a new system, completely a ton of new faces to try to work into this Fort Air Raid stuff that they're trying. And then you had the transfer stuff, which happens in college football. So there was just a lot to overcome.
Well, I think Kevin kind of mentioned it here. I don't think any of us really fathomed how big of an impact, a bad offensive line would have on this offense. I think we all looked at kind of the shiny parts, with the wide receivers coming in, Clay Millen, he's been pretty highly touted, Jay Norvell's history running the air raid. We were all kind of attracted to that, shiny draw. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think we couldn't have a way of knowing A, the injuries that would hit the offensive line, and B, how severely that would kind of ground the Fort Air Raid.
Yeah, I mean, we said in August that O-line was the most important piece and that they couldn't afford injuries. And then it was crazy how many – and they started four different centers. You're starting out freshman walk-on center at one point because they were so bereft of options. And it's crazy. Again, kind of a perfect storm of you had no depth there, and then it was the most – easily the most injury-hit position.
Yeah, and you just can't have it when, again, you – for air raid, you got to have time. You have to have that quarterback give time because these guys a lot of guys are running deep routes, too. So you have to be able to give that play time to develop. Question for you guys on Avery Morrow. Pleasant surprise for Colorado State. So much so that they kind of had to back away from Fort Air Raid-y stuff more so and say, hey, we can really focus on the run. And it's not to say that they're not planning on running in Fort Air Raid anyway, but not quite like we saw with Avery Morrow. Do you think that changes how they do things when they go into the planning process of this offseason, knowing, hey, Morrow might be a focal point going forward, like a designed focal point, not one out of necessity like we faced last season?
Yeah, I think a little bit of in between. I mean, they always wanted to run the ball, in bits. And I think it just gives you more confidence than anything that you have that, as part of your weaponry. And so as the O-line improves and you're able to throw it, more like you want to, you just have a greater diversity of options.
Yeah, and well, I mean, kind of going back to the offensive line a little bit, because this ties into Morrow's performance. You know, I think we focused a lot on the pass blocking. I think the run blocking was okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, it wasn't great. Morrow still got hit plenty near the line of scrimmage. Credit to him for how often he made that work.
Monster.
You know, but if you know, there was already a decent foundation for a run blocking game. If you get an improved offensive line next year, you know, I think we focus on how it's going to improve the passing game, but I mean, there's a lot of room for Avery Morrow to have an even better season next year when he's not the focal point of the offense. You know, the air raid maybe opens things up a little bit, and you're getting a better offensive line. So I'm kind of with Kevin. I don't think it's going to make him necessarily the auto focal point going into next year, but I certainly think it gives you confidence, hey, we can be a very well-balanced attack next year.
A lot of what they're planning on doing, I think, as we talked about earlier, Kevin, is going to, you know, revolve around Torrey Horton, what his plans look like going forward. He's very young. But he has that kind of ability that you could see him, if he entered the draft, he could get drafted in the, I believe, late rounds. I don't think he's not Michael Gallup or anything like that. But there's a chance there. Even though he's young, there still is a chance that he could go and declare for the draft. How likely is it that he would do that?
I don't think very likely this year. Because, yeah, I think he probably would be selected by in a late round. And being a late round receiver is a
You're
tough
fighting
road.
For your
there,
life.
There are a lot of late round receivers and early round receivers and in the middle receivers. So it's tough. I think, and like you say, the kid's 20 years old and he's a pup.
Crazy.
He's younger than Clay Millen, which always shocks people when I say that. So I think probably one more year.
There's absolutely a world where he comes back, the air raid gets going next year, and he works his way up to a second or third round pick.
Exactly. All right, it's Rams Weekly here. We'll see. I think we're all pretty optimistic that this football team can turn things around into next season. Jay Norvell and company have some work to do on that offensive line, no question about it. Let's shift our focus to the basketball side of things. You're 6-2, and Isaiah Stevens is back. Don't look now, but Colorado State might be pretty good at basketball. We'll be right back. Welcome back into Rams Weekly here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. It's a show where KFKA teams up with the Coloradoan. We do that all the time anyway, but we merge here for Rams Weekly and all things look at CSU football. And now, pretty much CSU basketball. Chris Abshire, Kevin Lytle in studio with me, Brady Hull. And I'm not surprised that this team is 6-2 right now.
Basketball because, school.
Yeah, Nico Medved's that guy. He's that good of a coach. And these players, I mean, the Isaiah Rivera's, the John Tanjay's, the Tavy Jackson, I mean, these guys are, we got some good basketball players here. And then you add Isaiah Stevens, who comes out of nowhere and says, oh, by the way, I'm good. And he has, what do you have, 13 points last night. So he had a good game for this team.
He looked just like himself, 13 points, 4 assists in 18, 19 minutes. Typical Isaiah.
Yeah. 7 points right out of the gate, too.
Oh, that's so cool.
That really kind of set the tone.
It's perfect that he comes down, hits a mid-range jumper on the first possession. Nico Medved, after, he said, I knew Isaiah was shooting that first possession. He goes, that's just who he is. Like, you know, kind of an on-back. It's funny, he hit that one, and then I think the next possession hits a three, and he is running back, kind of screaming, you know, into the abyss, the crowd. Basically, I'm back, I think, with another word or two in there. But you could tell, not only is he obviously very excited, you could feel an energy lift in the team. And, we talked to Isaiah and John Tanjay after. And John, you know, very nice, likable guy, but, you know, somewhat reserved. He was smiling ear to ear. He said, yeah, he goes, it was so great watching him do his thing again. Those guys are just really tight, really connected. And obviously, Isaiah being on the floor raises the ceiling of what this
it
team
really
can
does.
Do.
Well, I love that you mentioned the kind of intangible impact, because I think last year a lot of fans, you know, from the outside looking in, I mean, David Roddy was the best player. You kind of assume he's the leader. But you mentioned all the time last year, no, Isaiah Stevens was this team's like, you know, locker room leader last year. So having him back, I think it was very obvious real quick just how much, you know, energy he brings to that lineup. And just as a point guard, I mean, don't get me wrong, Tavy Jackson is a freshman. I mean, he's also,
he's fun,
you know, up and down, you know, big time energy guy. But when you have that paired with the experience of a guy like Isaiah Stevens, yeah, it's going to make an impact immediately.
Isaiah is such a huge impact player. Obviously, all the statistical things people can see, but I think fans see some of the intangible things, like I say, the energy lift, but, and I've heard from people in and outside that locker room about just the way he connects with player, you know, 1 to player 15 on that roster. He's one of those special humans that understands how to meet people where they're at, you know, the ways that they're motivated, the way that they, you know, positively receive, whether it's criticism or advice or whatever. He's one of those special people that can just communicate the right way with everyone. And that's a hard thing to do. And Isaiah, that's why when people talk about wise beyond his years, that's one of the things you're thinking.
No question about it. I mean, you talked to Nico about coaching. People don't just throw around players could be a coach, you know, willy-nilly. I mean, they truly believe that he has that knowledge. He has that ability to do that. But just roster-wise, doesn't it seem like you had a bunch of nice players on this roster? But then when you throw Isaiah Stevens in the mix, you're right, it raises all boats. It kind of completes this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the completing factor, you know, that final ingredient that makes your dinner just perfect, that type of thing. Because he does just open up. We saw, you know, in the two losses, both kind of came because they struggled offensively. And there were a lot of times you're sitting there, it's like, man, you just need someone to calm it down, find a way to get a bucket. Guess who finds a way to get a bucket, whether it's scoring or finding a really open shot for someone? It's Isaiah Stevens. So, again, it's not that, like, you know, this team has no issues and they're going to go win their next 23 or whatever it is straight and roll into the NCAA tournament as a 3 seed. But he certainly fixes a lot, or at least helps a lot of their ills. You know, they haven't been great at 3-point shooting. He's awesome at it. They haven't been good at free throws. He's awesome at free throws. They've been somewhat deficient in scoring. Guess what? He scores really efficiently.
Even in Charleston, they were a little bit turnover prone at times. And having him
guess
back,
guess what? He does not turn the ball
over. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I remember last year, deep into the season, he had like a 3-to-1 assist to turnover ratio.
Is bonkers,
unreal.
Usually,
he's just a sound basketball player. Which also, you know, if you say he's going to be a coach, well, coaches hate turnovers more than anything in the history of the world. So when that's probably on his mind all the time, is being careful with the basketball is a top priority.
Yeah, he reads the game so well, and he is absolute next level basketball knowledge. He's, you know, kind of a genius at basketball and how the game works and how to read a game in the game, how to have the right feel. And he's great at knowing, okay, we should push right now. We should be pushing, or whoop, you know, let's pull the reins in. We need to slow down a bit. He knows that. Not a lot of players can feel that.
Maybe this is a little bit obvious here, but I just want to like reiterate. I mean, Isaiah Stevens was a preseason first team All-Mountain West, you know, predicted player. I mean, he was what,
and
a
easy,
second
he
teamer?
Is a lock, yeah.
He was what, a second teamer last year? Yeah. You know, I mean, so adding that, a first team all conference player to your roster is, you know, not just like,
not
oh,
a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not just, oh, it's a nice to have. It is a game changer for what your team can be. And it comes at a good time. I mean, Kevin and I talked about this, not only getting him back for part of the non-conference, but getting him back with some buffer time before you play CU, before you play USC, before you play St. Mary's. Not only will he be in those games, but he has a chance to be basically, you know, back 100% and able to, because he might be the type of player that can get you over the top against those good non-conference opponents.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I know none of us here are doctors, or at least I don't think, but what happened here? We had a foot injury that we all kind of thought was, January was putting it nicely. I mean, at times, Kevin, you and I have talked about it. It's like, January is what we're thinking, but I don't even know. And then you, bam, we get the news yesterday, and that you're putting out there all over the place, Kevin, that Isaiah Stevens is cleared. He's going to play. What happened there? I guess he just was moving so well in practice that they said, oh, you're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a doctor, which I know surprises people.
It is surprising.
But no, I think it's a combo. One, it obviously always helps for any type of injury if you take care, you know, before the injury, if, you know, if you're healthy and take care of yourself. Obviously, he does. And then he's the guy that was going to follow every single direction the doctors gave him. Sounds like he did to a T. The only struggle was reining him in because he always wanted to do more. It probably helps being 20 and, you know, things heal a little better, or 21, whatever Zay is, heal a little better at that age. But no, he just did everything right, had no setbacks. And yeah, I'd been hearing that rehab was going well and was ahead of schedule, but not that far ahead of schedule. It was pretty, you know, stunning to almost everyone.
Well, I mean, disclaimer here as well. I'm not a doctor either.
Okay, good.
But
one
thing you always hear about foot injuries is that they can be pretty fickle. And usually you're hearing that the other way, where it's worse than
just kind
of hangs on. I mean, think about it when you're walking on your feet. I mean, a lot of pressure points there. But it sounds like this is one of those rare cases where, hey, everything just went perfect. The foot healed better. Like I said, it's usually the other way around. It's hearing it's giving them problems, it's lingering. This is a case where it just worked out for the best.
And that was the worry, because that does happen with feet a lot. You know, I know early on, you know, when hearing that rehab was going well, it was always, but, you know, let's wait until he gets on the court and is doing strenuous on-court workouts. Because obviously, you know, it's called hardwood for a reason. It's tough. That's, you know, tough on your feet. So there was worry that, you know, once he got into those, there could be a little setback. But obviously not. All went well so far. Isaiah said after the game he felt good. You know, I guess there was another test this morning. We'll see how he felt when he woke up, because that's always, you know, the next thing. But so far, it seems so good.
Good news for them, too, is, you know, I mentioned those big non-conference games coming up. The way the schedule works out, because we're near, you know, the finals time into semester, there's a lot of, you know, lengthy breaks between some of these games.
Sure.
So he can play in them, get back, you know, test it, but then also have, I mean, for example, you know, they played last night. They don't play again until Saturday. You know, you get a few days to rest it. Then you
go
Saturday.
And it's all in Colorado. You know, yes. You know, they play at Colorado next week, but obviously that's just a quick bus trip. They don't fly until, you know, December, like, 17th or so, which, you know, obviously the flying itself isn't a problem, but it just creates more time for him to continue to rest, rehab, and build strength and stamina without having to worry about other things.
He kind of feels, it's weird, you kind of feel like you're playing with house money right now, because at the start of the season, you're like, where's he?
If you're a CSU fan, you've got to be.
Yeah, you're 6-2 as well. I mean, you know, last night Isaiah plays, but this Rams team, they won 5 games without him.
No bad losses. Like I say, the 2 losses, you know, as far as resume, NCAA resume, not bad. They won't, you know, hurt you too much, and the committee will give you missing your best player.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and the fact, one thing I liked about last night, too, is that continuation, this team is really, you know, they're clamping down on home court. I mean, they've looked good so far.
They're just rolling.
A couple
teams.
Big blowouts, you know, so I think Stevens being back helps with that as well.
Got an interesting test coming up on Saturday. Going up against the Bears. I'm excited about this matchup. I want it to happen every single year. So we'll talk about the challenge next. It's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1, 1310 KFKA. It's Rams Weekly on this first day of December, teaming up with the fellas from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire. Yes, CSU, the basketball team, again, Nico Medved, this coaching staff, they're pretty good at what they do. They found a way to win 5 games without their stud. They win a nice one last night against LMU with their stud. Now we got a nice local matchup that I think, personally, I want this to happen every single year. I think CU, CSU, UNC, I'll throw in Wyoming. I think they all should play each other all the time. I think it'd be a blast.
Yeah, I think they're fun. Varying levels of good for everyone. But I think for CSU, you don't mind it. Obviously, if you lose UNC, you do mind it. But it's a fairly safe-ish matchup for CSU. For UNC, it's a great matchup. Yeah, front range basketball is pretty good. Let's have them all be playing each other.
At the beginning of the season, guys, you know, just evaluating the teams and looking at, okay, Isaiah's out. The Bears are returning 3 starters from last year with Dalen Kuntz and Matt Johnson and Dalton Connect. I thought UNC might have a really good shot to win this thing. But obviously you get Isaiah back, and then you look at UNC's schedule thus far, losing to teams like Colorado Christian. And then the defense has just been, for the most part, not great. There's spurts. There's times where they show that they can be a decent defensive team. But for the most part, it's been rough. I don't know. Now it's starting to, I don't think it's going to be like it was last year, where it was actually a pretty close game. CSU was losing by 10 or 11 at one point. I'm feeling worse about this being a really good game.
Yeah. Before the season, I felt the same. I thought it was really dangerous for CSU. I still think it is dangerous. I mean, Kuntz and these guys, you know, they're good players, and they can score it. Obviously, UNC will be plenty motivated. UNC will probably, you know, those guys that were on the team last year will feel some confidence from, you know, being in it. But like you said, the defense, you look at some of these scores. I mean, 98 to New Mexico. Grand, New Mexico looks really, really good.
Yeah, they do.
But that's still a lot of points. You even, you know, 82 Jacksonville State, lose to Colorado Christian, you know, lose to San Jose State, who's improved, but still it's San Jose State. Give up 80 to them. Just a lot of points, even 77 to Texas A&M Commerce. You know, some pretty big numbers to, you know, what you would argue are not great teams. And then you combine that with the Isaiah factor of CSU's offense and swagger level is probably up a little bit. They're playing well at home. CSU defends quite well. I mean, they're third right now in the Mountain West in scoring defense. So I think they'll probably be able to slow UNC down some. So I think it still is tricky, but I think CSU is safer now than I expected at the start of the season.
I mean, I pretty much agree. I think it's always a dangerous spot when you have, you know, kind of a local game like this, especially when one team, you know, has a little bit extra incentive. It's kind of their Super Bowl in a way for Northern Colorado. So right there, baseline, that's always going to be a little bit dangerous. Now, that being said, also with Kevin in that, I find it hard to think UNC can stay in this game until I see proof of defense. I just need to see some proof of defense there. And, you know, CSU, like we said, they've been taking care of teams at home that they should beat. You know, and I also think the way they're running an offense compared to last year is going to be tougher for Northern Colorado, because if you're not a great defense, what do you want? You want one or two guys that you say, hey, if we can take them away, we might have a shot of shutting them down. And last year, with David Roddy and Isaiah Stevens, you could kind of focus on those two guys. And if you took them away, CSU might struggle. This year, I think CSU's got six, you know, pretty legit
balance.
Scoring options. Much more balanced. Yeah, and so, I mean, UNC could play a better defensive game, but it might not matter.
Yeah, and, you know, UNC had that big man in the middle last year who did create some problems.
Yeah, of Core.
I don't think this year they really have that.
No, that's, you know, again, Theo Hughes, the guy from England, you know, he's 7 foot, but he doesn't really play quite like a 7-footer. They're hoping he can turn around. They're playing with a lot of freshmen, too.
Yeah, and that's hard, you know. Takes time to come around. So I do think it's dangerous. But another thing with this CSU team, I think they have a little bit more of a underdog mentality. Of last year's team had some, you know, justified swagger of like, we can go in and kind of just bully you.
Yeah.
And in a few games, I think the UNC one was one of them. The Northeastern game and the Paradise Jam was one of them. They kind of got a little overconfident and sort of thought they could stroll through a few games. I don't think this team has any of that. Partially the Stevens injury and partially just kind of who they are is sort of a balanced team, you know, without a real superstar before Isaiah came back. They kind of have a little bit more of that gritty edge to them, knowing that they can't necessarily just out-talent everyone.
Well, and what was interesting last year, UNC had a guy on that team named Bodie Hume, who was the big sky freshman of the year. You know, he was a good player for a couple of years. Last year, he was expected to do a lot of great things, and he didn't have the season that he wanted to. Now he's playing overseas. Good for him. But that game was, you talk about his
that seemed
Super
to be a statement
Bowl.
Game, too, of like, maybe you should have me in this jersey.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted to win that game. I think there was part of him that, you know, maybe had a grudge. I don't know if CSU reached out to him when he played at Sterling.
It would have been when he was under, well, let me do something.
Yeah, right. With Linder.
So
he played under Linder, you know, picked up by Linder, and he was a heck of a player. Didn't have a game anywhere close to what he had against CSU.
They put up like 37.
30 points.
He
shot like 15, 16 three-pointers. Yeah. I mean, he was hitting shots like
he was firing them up.
Yeah, he was firing them up. I unless the Bears get one of those kind of days, it could be an interesting day.
Kuntz may Kuntz well have
that.
Some of
Dalton
that.
Connect could do it. He had 30 the other night. He had 30 against New Mexico.
You know, Kuntz obviously spent some time at CU. You know, he has plenty of blood in him to be like, hey, I want to go mess up CSU.
That's true, he does.
But that's another place where I think this year's matchup, it doesn't work as well for the Bears there, because I think CSU this year has the kind of perimeter defenders. I mean, they can switch everything out. Bunch of 6'5", 6'6", guys, they can run at them. I think it's going to be tougher sledding to find those kind of open three-pointers they found last year.
A fun game within the game, as I would imagine Jalen Lake will be on Kuntz Lake has really become CSU's perimeter shutdown guy. So that could be a really fun one to watch.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be so much. At least the buildup. It's something where, you know, I've talked about this on my show. I'm like, Greeley people, if you're listening, get over there. Let's make this fun for the Bears side. But obviously, Moby, we know what Moby's creating. And that's where I hope that if Bears fans are going, they see what CSU's creating, and they can do that to support Smiley. Because Smiley's a really good head coach.
I think he's a good coach.
And he's getting some very good players. They do have a freshman named Caleb Shaw. Watch out for that guy in the next few years. Could be very good. So that's what I want, because last year I was thinking the same thing. I was like, Mo, it's so awesome here, and they support a great coach with great kids. Smiley is a great coach with great kids as well. Obviously not to that level where CSU is as far as winning and losing, but it's something where I want that to rub off on this team playing in Moby on Saturday.
Well, and we see this all the time. I mean, college basketball is not, say, college football. I mean, if you have a couple successful seasons in a row, you can really build a culture there. And also with the smaller rosters, I mean, you're always one or two good players away from being a different program.
Yeah.
And so if you're able to establish a culture of fans coming out, you know, of winning, things like that, I mean, look how quickly Nico Medved has done it. I mean, the end of the Larry Eustace era to now.
Oh, the way he's like fans, a legend already.
Exactly. The way fan support is in Moby, I mean, it's night and day. I mean, I remember the last few years of the Larry era. You were getting, you know, what, 2,000 fans in Moby,
not
if you're
much,
lucky.
Yeah.
So it can change quickly. And, you know, I think this is the type of, you know, in-state matchup, in-state rivalry that can get the attention of a fan base. Like you said, you know, if UNC fans go over to Moby and, you know, see what kind of atmosphere they got in there, there's no reason you can't look at it and say,
go,
hey,
rally your friends and get your family coming out to these games. I want that so badly for UNC. I want it, honestly, just for this area. I think we said it feels like a basketball state. Let's start making Moby Arena all like the norm throughout the state, and I think things would get really interesting. So that's going to be a fun one. I'm actually going to be on doing some color commentator, Terry, for this game.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Fun.
I haven't.
Courtside
I'll
there.
Be sitting next to Jerry Schimmel. I said, hey, I'll be there at the game on Saturday. Look forward to seeing. He's like, hey, you want to do colors? I haven't done color in 10 years. So it'll be interesting to see how this one goes down.
Ride some coattails.
Everyone make sure to heckle Brady.
Well, so I have a rule when I do color commentary for basketball. I shut my mouth at once they pass half court. Because you have to let Jerry set up the play. So we'll see if that rule works for me coming up this weekend. Or he might kick me out and I'll be sitting up next to you. Save me a seat.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we'll take a short break. It's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK. Feel the love here on Rams Weekly. Welcome back into the show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Chris Abshire, Kevin Lytle join me each and every Thursday to put together this show where we go in depth and we talk Colorado State football, now on to more Colorado State basketball. And it's so much fun. It just gives us an opportunity to look at the weeks ahead and really analyze these players and coaches.
I was talking with Kevin about this earlier, you know, when we were on our way over here. You know, toward the end of the football season, it was kind of a what new could you say? I mean, we were seeing a lot of things we've seen with this program before, you know, and not to say that it was like bad or boring, but it's just, you know, we were regurgitating a lot of things about that team. With this basketball program, I mean, especially with Isaiah coming back, there's a lot of interesting storylines here, you know, and it's such a different team from last year, which is why it's going to be fun.
Yeah, well, looking at the schedule, we talked a lot about CSU-UNC, which will be should be interesting at least to see how the Rams do handle it. Do they, you know, do they overlook by any stretch at the beginning? We'll see. But man, the schedule after that really heats up for Colorado State.
Yeah, it sure does. We're, you know, heading into this crucial stretch over the next 3 weeks until right before Christmas, where it's going to determine a lot for CSU. You know, can the Rams be in the mix for an at-large bid? you know, we're going to find out next week, a week from now, basically, CSU will be playing or about to face Colorado down in Boulder. That's going to be a really fun one. Colorado is...
They're all over the place.
All over the place. You know, they can obviously be really great and obviously be pretty poor,
they
I would
beat
imagine.
Beat Tennessee and lose to Grambling the very next
Vince
day.
Vince Aaron will be jumping, so that should be a really fun one.
Deion Sanders might be there.
Yeah, head ball coach.
Oh, goodness, I hadn't even thought about that.
It could happen.
Quick side note, if they, I still don't for a second believe it, but we'll see. If they hire him, they'll bring him out halftime.
Saturday's supposed to be when he makes the decision.
Yeah, and
so.
I would guarantee he would make a halftime appearance at that basketball game.
Not pregame, but halftime.
Yeah, only. never mind.
Could be crazy, man.
Let's not talk about that.
But yeah, that game's going to be a battle.
And then. Not long after that, CSU goes to California to play at St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. It's hard to win there. New Mexico did yesterday, which shows you how good New Mexico can be. But winning at Moraga is a really tough place. St. Mary's is always a really good team, probably a tournament team again. So that's a really good resume opportunity. That's back-to-back tough environment road game. Well, not back-to-back. Peru State's in the middle, but... tough road games, yes. And then CSU a few days later plays USC in what's going to be the opposite environment. It's going to be incredibly sterile, no fan environment, basically, in Phoenix. It's 9 p.m. out, so 8 p.m. local tip out there. There will be some fans from both schools, but it will not be crazy. So it'll just be kind of one of those flat-out, just a basketball match. And all three of those, if CSU can go 1-2 in those, you're feeling decent, anything better, and you're feeling really good.
How good do you feel about them, winning some of these games now that Isaiah's back into the mix? Are we putting CSU kind of like as a great team suddenly that could very well beat these teams?
They need to beat someone, because like we've said, they haven't had any bad losses, but they don't have any great wins. They have some nice wins, but nothing great yet. So you need to see that. But I certainly trust everything about this team more, especially a hostile road environment with Isaiah. Because think about it. I love Tavy Jackson, think he is and is going to be a great player. But if he, a true freshman is your, primary ball handler in those games, that can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Baylor Hebb, obviously, kind of likewise, you'd probably have some concerns. By Isaiah, you trust he'll keep things, like I say, just that calming influence. So I like CSU's chances more. I'm not about to say, CSU's going to go 3-0 in those games, but their odds in each of them just rose.
Well, the interesting thing to me is that all three of these games feel a little bit similar to me. I don't think CSU will be favored in any of them, but I don't think they're going to be more than a 6 or 7 point dog in any of them. I mean, these are all games that they're not expected necessarily to win, but they can absolutely win any one of them. Now, like Kevin was saying, I think 1-2 is probably a pretty likely outcome, but if you go 2-1, all of a sudden your resume starts looking a lot better, and especially the fact that two of these are true road games. I mean, these days in college basketball and non-conference, getting two road games the caliber of CU and St. Mary's for a team like CSU, that's gold. So I'm with Kevin. I mean, to me, these all feel like 40% games. We're like, you play these games 10 times, CSU will win maybe 4 of them. So is this a year where you get lucky and you win a couple of them? Maybe. But, I mean, with Isaiah Stevens coming back, you have to like your odds compared to where you felt a week ago.
Well, and that's the thing. You find a way to come out of this thing virtually unscathed. I mean, now the next 2 weeks on the show, we're going to be talking about, okay, I mean, is this an at-large type team? I mean, suddenly that does change. And again, those are big ifs with the level of opponents that they have. But if they can find a way to do that, now we're suddenly changing this narrative around. And then Nico Medved, we start the whole, is he going to stay here for long? We start that conversation again. That's how it goes. I mean, if he can, because the national rhetoric or whatever, if you're looking at this team, you're going, you lost David Roddy. You have no business being, a great team. So if Nico Medved can do that with Isaiah Stevens and company, man, look out.
Yeah, certainly. If this were to become a tournament team, his name will be as hot as ever, really. And the good thing for CSU and everyone in the Mountain West looks really good right now. San Diego State is
so
basically
those will be big wins.
Yeah,
if they can win
San Diego
a lot
State
of
is basically
games.
As advertised. Yeah, they had a couple losses, but they were close games in Maui to top 15 type of teams. So not bad losses. New Mexico looks awesome. UNLV looks really good. Nevada looks really good
Utah
right
State
now. Utah
even.
State looks really good. Really the only team that's kind of struggling is Wyoming, and they're missing Graham Ike, and for the last two games, Hunter Maldonado as well. So you know they're going to be better as those guys come back. So Mountain West right now is looking like a really strong conference. As of now, things can change quickly, but as of right now, Mountain West is looking like a 3-4 bid league. That can change drastically, but right now it's in good spot.
That was the number I had in my head, was at least three, you know, if things break your way, four. You know, and it's funny, you mentioned all those teams. We didn't even talk about the defending regular season
Boise
champion,
State.
Boise.
Yeah. They have no
problems
either.
Honestly, their non-conference so far looks a little bit similar to their non-conference last year.
They have some solid opportunities coming up, so we'll learn more about them as well, kind of like CSU, in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, you know, going back to, you kind of talked about Nico, but I mean, that's what, if the Mountain West can be consistently good, it's going to be difficult for other jobs, I mean, other than the money aspect, to go to Nico and say, hey, you have a chance to be more competitive here than you are at CSU. So it's funny. Keep rooting for the Mountain West, not just for your NCAA tournament.
All votes. That helps keep Nico here. You're exactly right.
Yes.
It's rooting for those Mountain West teams in the non-conference to go do big things. And the chances of Nico staying here and this becoming a really great conference is great.
But yeah, and you also mentioned it about, you know, the way you build a culture in a program. I mean, if you have teams that are coming into Moby every year in the Mountain West, if you have your traditional basketball rivals like a New Mexico getting back to, you know, kind of their level they expect, and they're coming into Moby and you're going into the Pit, those are big time games, big time atmospheres. That's how you build the kind of, you know, fun culture and, you know, the commitment to, you know, the team that you have in the fan base.
Something that makes a coach want to stick around because, you know, you love seeing that. You know, when you show up, it's just this energy. Madness level been like so far, Kevin?
It's okay right now.
Yeah.
Decent, nothing incredible, nothing bad. I think it's at a solid point that, you know, you head into the funky time right now if students are close to leaving for break. But these next couple games, I think it'll be solid. And then once students are back from break, I would expect a big surge in, you know, January, February, early March.
Well, I hope they can keep that going, you know, get the
Kevin issued the directive earlier this, you know, before the season. Yeah. He said, hey, you know, you lost David Roddy, you were a tournament team
last year.
It's not just about the team proving it. Fans, go out and prove it.
Yeah, you got to build this up, and it's something so exciting. It becomes this great event, not just a basketball game that you're going to, fun event, and
I think it was just shy of 5,000 last night for a fairly no-name Wednesday night game. I think pretty
solid. What do you think it'll be like Saturday?
I'd say a little over five, probably.
Yeah, that'd be cool if you could get a good five to six,
if I had to guess.
The local draw, plus, you know, there's not local football games that day, anything like that.
So. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm excited for that game, of course. Kevin, Chris, great work from you. Maybe we can get a great NIL story from Kevin in the Coloradoan that CSU's turning out here, trying to get their hands around name, image, and likeness. So read that. I highly recommend it. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it next week. It's been Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.